We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and whenever you're endeavoring to follow the Spirit, you just really never know where it's going to take you. And so as you're looking at your outline there, you're seeing page one all over again. And so just add this to your notes. Because we're going to reestablish our foundation here of this teaching, and that's what the Holy Spirit gave me. He that works in you, the foundation for change. And so the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to work in you, to build something in you, right? And we're going to see here that the Bible considers us, each one of us, is a spiritual house. So let's take a look at this. The work of the Holy Spirit is so manifold that it is easy to overlook how active He is in our lives. In this teaching, we'll examine the work that is being done in our lives as children of the Most High. The work of the Holy Spirit establishes a spiritual foundation in our lives so that a spiritual house can be built. Observe these scriptures, Ephesians 2:19. This is from the NLT. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made a part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. God is dwelling in you. God is dwelling in you as a tabernacle, a house, a dwelling place. Look at 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And also in Hebrews 3:5-6, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. The end result of our lives and of what the Holy Spirit wants to do is to be a solid house built on the principles of Jesus. Therefore, He is their foundation. The principles of His pure word that make us an unshakable building for the glory of God. Now, we're going to get into something really interesting here. And it's going to show how important this house is that we build. But it will have to be built properly, as Jesus said in Matthew. We're talking about structural integrity. A house, Joe, you've built houses before, right? And Drew, you've built houses. And when you're building, if you do everything right, it has structural integrity. If you take corners, cut corners, try to do things fast and maybe not as good, the integrity of the house is at stake. So Jesus said, Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, that it fell, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The foundation, it had no structural integrity. So the house was built on shaky ground. What Jesus is revealing here is that the structural integrity of a house needs to be properly built. Amen? We see in verse 24, this is based on hearing Jesus' words and doing them. Now, why is this so important? Obviously, we see that if it is built properly, the house will withstand the severe weather, right? Maybe so, but Jesus never wasted his words. Whenever Jesus gave a story, there was more to the story than what met the eye. There's a deeper lesson here than meets the eye. To receive the fuller revelation of what Jesus was saying, we must look back at verses 21 through 23. Remember, we always talk about getting context. And our Bibles, they were trying to do what's right, but the original writings are not separated. It's just like a letter. But they entered in headings and subheadings. And so this is one thought. Mm-hmm. So let's look at what he said in 7:21 before he's talking about the house that built on a rock or on the sand. Jesus says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day," and put a circle around the words "that day." "Many will say unto me in that day," what day? "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." We see in verses 26 and 27 that the house that was built on sand and not built on Christ was not built on Christ, because he's the rock, as we know. Isaiah 17:10, Romans 9:33. But when the house fell, it was destroyed. And if there was a flood, what happens when a house falls and it's destroyed? When there's a flood, as we, you know, we remember seeing different floods, the Mississippi and different floods in areas, and it sweeps the houses away. There would be nothing left. And Jesus said at the end of verse 27, "Great was the fall of that house." Great was the fall of it. There was nothing left. In verses 21 and 23, because of the way these people were being addressed, it seems that they have nothing to stand on. When they're saying, "Lord, have we not done this and done that?" That's not enough for them to stand on. And we see that Jesus stated that the house needed to be built on his word. And then, not only that, but it must be acted upon. And if we look back, he said that whosoever hears my sayings and doeth them. I'll liken unto a wise man. So it's not just hearing. He said that the house needed to be built on his word, and then it must be acted on. It appears that these, in 21 and 23, it appears they did none of those things. Therefore, they were not given or granted entrance into the kingdom. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. They know me. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now, something interesting here, if you have a Bible and you open up to Luke chapter 6, we're going to see something interesting. At verse 46, Jesus says this. I'll give you a minute here. Luke 6:46. He says, why call ye me Lord and do not the things that I say? And then, verse 47 through 49, whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house. There's that parable again. But he prefaces that by saying, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I say? Now, if we go back up to get context, look at verse 43. He's talking about a good tree brings forth not corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Then he goes, why do you call me Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? Then he shares that same parable. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to Matthew. And let's do something interesting. Let's look at the scriptures in 27, 24 through 27. And let's read that again. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken unto a wise man which built his house on a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, it'd be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, let's just do a little thing here, and let's continue reading as if we're reading naturally, and we're just going to flop around and go into verse 21. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, unto me will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So we get the same message. They have nothing to stand on. Because as we studied before, you know, we need to build on precious things, on basically on his word, and do them. Otherwise, you know, your works are dead. So, the will of the Father. He says, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So we must understand, what's the will of the Father? And if you remember, when we studied on Be Ye Followers of Me, and we looked at Jesus' perspective. I do my Father's will. I do what he tells me to do. I say what he says for me to do. Whatever I see him do, that's what I do. I am locked into what he desires, the will of the Father. So Jesus, if he says what the Father tells him to say, and he's speaking out those words, then he's speaking God's will, right? Do you see that? Because he says, I only do what the Father tells me. I don't do my own will. I do his will. So his will, God's will, is the words of Christ. So Jesus says, so why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say? Because see, Jesus has downloaded from heaven what to say. So he's saying what God is telling, what God is having him to say. So if you're not obeying him, if you're not following and putting into practice what he says, you are disobeying God's will. What does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, and one and the same. So not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom, but he that does the will of the Father. So the Father's will, so let's not make this a light thing. That's why the Word of God is so important, because his Word is his will. Again, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. So he says to those, depart from me. I never knew you. You weren't one of my sheep. I don't know who you are. 10:27 in John, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And so we discuss about following him. That means we join rank with him. We take on his initiatives, and we're following in the same way he followed the Father. Here is the last verse I'll share on this subject. The only way to have our house built with structural integrity is to build on Jesus' teachings. Amen? All of them. You cannot pick and choose. In fact, what you should do is develop this. I shared with Karen and I were having a piece of pie the other night. And I guess she's never noticed this, but if you ever see me eat pie with a fork, you will always see me eat the thick crust first. Why? So that I can enjoy the best for last. And not have to eat the crusty, the stuff that doesn't have a lot of taste last. So I get rid of the hard part first.
Do you eat pizza back first?
Sometimes. If it's the thick crust pizza, real thick, yeah. So I do what's tough first. So we have the words of the Lord. So let's dig into his word and find out those tough things and let's do them. Get the tough stuff out of the way. Love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, sometimes that can be hard. You know, forgiving one another, forbearing one another. You know, so then when the easy stuff comes, you know. Worship and praise and, oh, let's fellowship together, you know, and all that nice, cozy stuff. We don't have to weed through some of the tough stuff that's in front of us. Let's take care of the tough stuff. That's why building a house is so important. The foundation is hard, getting that right. I used to work with my cousin building houses, and we took a lot of time to make sure that that foundation and the corner piece was perfect, because from the corner piece, everything else is built from it. So if it's square, if it's straight, then everything else will be square and straight. Foundation is important. Crooked foundation, crooked house. Weak foundation, weak house. You just can't get away from it. So, the only way to have our house built with structural integrity is to build on Jesus' teachings, all of them, and having the Holy Spirit directing the building of our house. God has the design, and the Holy Spirit brings it to pass. Every one of you have been designed by your Father in heaven for a specific purpose. Do you believe that? We're all a part of God's body, of God's house. We all play an integral part. But God, for every one of you, has a specific design. He's designed you. And the Holy Spirit knows that. Open your Bible if you have it. Oh, we got the things here, the papers here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God has a design, and the Holy Spirit brings it to pass. And we see this idea taught by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Looky here. For what man knows the things of a man save the Spirit which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom speaks or teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit has the thoughts and directives of our Father in heaven. That's why, if we go on in this, we go into the promise of the Father, which we've studied before. That's why it was so important for the Holy Spirit to be released, because in Him is the mind. He has the directives of our Father in heaven. We must learn how to listen to and heed the voice of the Holy Spirit. Someone once asked me, what does God's voice sound like? In fact, I've had that asked of me many times. My answer always is, and it was then, His voice sounds like His word. As you become accustomed to studying, meditating, and allowing God's pure word to renew your mind, you will better understand John 1:1. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, Father God, and His Word are all one voice. Jesus, Father God, and His Word for us are all one voice. And it is by the Holy Spirit that we hear Him. He's it. That's why, you know, last week when we studied, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He plays an important part in your development, building your house. What is the house being built for? We'll be looking, you know, into that as we go along here, but it's for use. Called being a vessel, being used. So don't think of your house. Don't get the wrong idea. Don't think of your house as a mansion. No, we got a mansion in heaven. But our house is a tabernacle of God in which He dwells in which He gives directives. In the Old Testament, they had the tabernacle. Moses would go into the tabernacle, meet with God, and it says he'd meet face to face. God would speak to him like a friend speaks to a friend. Well, what was God doing? What were the discussions? The discussions were what they were to do, where they were to go. The discussions were God's giving him guidelines and principles. And Moses, can you imagine everything that God spoke to Moses and he wrote? He wrote about the colors for the priests and their breastplates and the colors and the different things for the tabernacle. He downloaded all that to Moses, and he had somehow supernaturally the ability to remember it all and write it all down. I mean, there's a lot of detail. But God was downloading and he was giving his plans and his purposes. So now we have a better covenant because we have God in us, the Holy Spirit in us, to bring those things, to bring you in this tabernacle, this dwelling place that glorifies him. That is a place where he dwells, his presence. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to develop within each and every one of us structural integrity. And we can look at that word integrity in many different ways, but the integrity, right, that we're establishing is it being solid, it being unmovable, it being built properly according to the Prince. No shortcuts, but done right. How many of you want your house to be built with structural integrity? Yeah. I want it done right. But it's got to be done according to his ways. So some of them are tough. You know, forgive. You know, if you're struck, if somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Some of those things are a little tough. But with the Holy Spirit, he's our cushion. The Bible said, we studied that, he's our comforter. Yeah. And he helps us to follow through and to have those things work in us. And I don't want to get too far ahead because the next section we're going to be talking about is about working with the Holy Spirit. It's a joint effort. We just don't go, okay, Holy Spirit, there's things that we have to do. You know, you lay on your bed and go, okay, do what you got to do. Well, there's things that we got to do. Father, we bless you, and we thank you, Lord, for interjecting this into our teaching, Holy Spirit. Continue to develop us, Lord, as your children, as your vessels for your kingdom's sake. May your words, Lord, just permeate in our beings day and night, Lord. May we be attentive unto your sayings, unto your principles, Lord, that we all are built with structural integrity. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.